Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, you are tuned in to the finest gospel station on the internet, the Love Lift Me Up Show. Hallelujah. Giving Jesus all the praise. Featuring gospel artists, authors, teachers, writers, actresses, actors, educators, and community leaders. Let's give it up for the host of the show, Dr. Elfrida Love, and the star of the show, the one and only Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Glory to your name.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Love Live Jesus Ministry, where Jesus shines with love. I am your host this evening, Elfrida Love. And today we are going to speak about discernment from A Spiritual Guide to Go, Perfecting Your Walk with God by Dr. Elfrida Love. But before we begin, I want you to know that this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. We're going to go into prayer. I want to pray. I want to use this particular time to pray. The Lord is, or the Spirit of God, is heavy up on me right about now. And I'm just excited and almost out of breath because I'm so excited what the Lord is going to get ready to do. And after we pray, we're going to go into the revelation of God. And one of the main topics that I'm seeing right now is discernment. And I have to apply it or make it applicable to the world and how we deal with people, how we deal with children in particular, how we deal with different circumstances. So without further ado, I want to pray. What you're going to hear is you're going to hear the first prayer, which is consecration. And then the second prayer you will hear will be a prayer like we do on Wednesdays, where we will begin to pray for other individuals, as well as ourselves and our families and the children. Then after which we will go into the topic of discernment. The spirit is very high. The anointing is very high. The revelation is just heightened. And it's time for us to listen to the voice of God and to get into the very presence of God and to make this applicable to our lives. Now, you will hear me pause many times because we have to make sure that we're going on the Word of God. You will also hear different voice inflections because I'm dealing with allergies and things of that nature, but that's no excuse because we're still going to praise the Lord. So what we need to do is we need to go ahead and consecrate ourselves in prayer. Then we're going to pray again. Then after which we will go into our topic. But and we'll also have a reading as well. Okay. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for blessing us as we were able to wake up this morning. You started us on our way, Heavenly Father. We're asking in the name of Jesus, Lord, would you consecrate our hearts and our minds so that now that we're in the presence of you, Heavenly Father, we will magnify, we will uplift your holy name, Lord. We're asking in the name of Jesus, Heavenly Father, would you help us to be the people that you would have us to be, Lord. Would you help us to do your holy will, those things that are acceptable, those things that are pleasing in your sight. We're asking if there's anything in our hearts or anything on our minds that are far from you, would you remove it and put those things that you smile upon within our hearts and our minds. We ask right now in the name of Jesus, would you decrease me to zero and increase you to greatness? Would you anoint my head from the top to the bottom? Would you bless the word of God to be placed in my mouth? Would you bless the visions that is going on in my mind to come to fruition so that the people may see that we serve a true and living God? Would you bless the anointing that is in my hands to expound over the people, not only over the people but over the word of God? Would you cover us and protect us as we go into the very presence of you, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord. The name of Jesus, Lord, we declare that every word that is spoken is from you. We declare that every word that you speak and give us, Heavenly Father, will come to pass. We declare that every vision, every dream that we have will come to pass. everything that we touch will be successful. Everything that we look at will be that of the good or for the good of the land. We ask that you bless these hands to go about working to help build a foundation for our youth, to help build a foundation for the people of God, a kingdom that can never be shaken or broken because of things of the world. In the name of Jesus, we ask that as we submerge ourselves into the presence of God and as we dip our minds into the Word of God, into the Bible, and as the words expound from these lips of clay, we ask that these words fall on good ground. We ask that these words be utilized and purposeful to the people, and not only to the people, but to myself as well. We ask that you expedite those things that need to move quickly, and would you slow down those things that are in a hurry. We ask that as we lift up our eyes unto you, that we find direction, we find guidance, we find peace, we find understanding, in the name of Jesus. As we submerge ourselves right now, and as we go in the presence of you to begin to pray for the world, pray for the nation and the people, we ask would you give us a vision, give us a guide, a blueprint to pray for those who need to be prayed for, which is everyone, to uplift those bowed down heads, to cool the scorching fevers, and to release the pain that is currently in our bodies, in the name of Jesus. We ask in the name of Jesus that you continue to cover the sheep and the shepherds, which you continue to help us to be more watchful of our youth. Would you bless and place peace within the people who hurriedly make decisions that cause them to get in trouble and also to hurt others, in the name of Jesus. We're asking in the name of Jesus, would you continue to uphold us to a higher degree, a higher standard within you? Would you help us in the name of Jesus right now as we get into your presence? Would you hide me behind the cross? And would you place yourself in front of the cross so that men and women, boys and girls may be able to see you and uplift and edify and magnify your name? We ask that none of these prayers, we ask that none of the words that come out of this mouth be of opinion, but be of the authentic word of God, the revelation, the prophecy, the vision, the dream that you would have for the people. As we release this prayer of consecration, we ask that you continue to cover us, continue to protect us, continue to hide the worst in our heart, continue to help us to yield not into temptation, but be delivered from all evil, and help us to give the uncompromising word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. And now we are going into our prayer for many things. We are going to pray for ourselves, of course. We're going to pray for this nation. We're going to pray for our families. We're going to pray for our careers. We're going to pray for schools. We're going to pray for our youth, especially. We're going to pray for the anointing of God. We're going to pray for ministries. We're going to pray for new beginnings. We're going to pray for new projects. We're going to pray for cities. We're going to pray for states. We're going to pray for just everyone, because everyone needs prayer. The prayer of the righteous. And when we begin to pray, we begin to understand, and we begin to edify, we begin to magnify our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So when we begin to pray, the prayers go up and the blessings come down. And see, we have to be ready for the day in which the Lord will make for us. Somebody said, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And so the day that we're speaking about is not just the day that the Lord created, such as the heavens and the earth, but it is also the day in which the Lord has made for us to make an entrance into the world and to also make an exit out of the world. And we have to be ready. So therefore, without further ado, we're going to go into prayer, because a lot of things is going on, not only in the United States, but all over this land and country. A lot of things are going on, and we have to be ready, and we have to be prepared. So without further ado, we're going to go ahead and pray unto God. And then we're going to go into the Word of God. And after we go into the Word of God, then I'm going to bid you good night until tomorrow. Okay? So here we go. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for blessing us as we were able to wake up this morning. We thank you for starting us on our way. We thank you for giving us a reasonable portion of our health and strength. We thank you for taking care of us. We thank you for keeping watch over us, and we thank you for just being the God that you are. We ask in the name of Jesus, would you continue to bless those who are going through the storms of life, those who are coming out of the storms of life, and those who are already in the storms of life. Would you help them to focus and to see who you are? We ask in the name of Jesus, would you bless and continue to bless the Tanner family? Would you bless the young man's family who drowned out in Hewitt? We're asking, would you bless the little 14-year-old child who drowned? I mean, just every person who falls up under that category, we're asking, would you bless their families? And not only would you bless their families, but would you help them and be a comforter for them so that they will know that there is a reason to serve a true and living God. We ask in the name of Jesus, would you continue to help us to be the people that you would have us to be. Help us to continue in the ministries. Help us to continue to walk by faith and not by sight. Help us to be ambassadors. Help us to go out and tell men, women, boys, and girls that they must be saved. We ask in the name of Jesus, would you pour into the spirit of peace for parents who do not have any patience? Would you pour into the spirit of warm hands instead of cold hands who cause harm to children? We ask that if there's any flared tempers, if there's any hatred, malice, jealousy, envy within any heart who's listening, within any heart who will listen, we ask in the name of Jesus, would you remove it? If the spirit of lying, deception, deceit rests upon any heart, we ask, would you remove it? If there's anything that is not like you within our hearts, we ask that you remove it. If there's anything that's in our minds that's causing us to be disturbed, we ask that you remove it. We must remove all things that hinders us from serving a true and living God. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the blessings that you've given us thus far. We thank you for the past, the present, the future, and what's now. And we ask that you continue to hold us close into your sight and continue to watch us just like a sparrow watches the ground. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we're asking that you bless those who are going into surgery, those who are coming out of surgery, those who have been diagnosed with many things, those who have not been diagnosed but do not feel well. We ask in the name of Jesus right now that you're removing the pain out of the body, Lord, the pain, the spirit that is causing the body to feel bad, Lord, the pain out of the stomach, the pain out of the hands, the pain out of the neck, the pain out of the back. We ask in the name of Jesus, the pain out of the head, headaches, heartaches, leg aches, arthritis, diabetes. We ask in the name of Jesus, would you heal those things, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, because we know that you have power and all power rests within your hands. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we're asking you, would you help us to keep our eyes lifted up unto the hills from which cometh all of our help, because all of our help cometh from you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Heavenly Father. We're asking you, would you continue to bless the Love, Lift Jesus ministry to be a ministry that is founded on the principles of the authentic Word of God and founded on the principles of things that will help edify and magnify and glorify you, Heavenly Father. We ask in the name of Jesus as we go into this lesson, we ask for direction, we ask for revelation, we ask for visions, we ask for the anointing of the Word to fall fresh upon these lips of mine so that I may convey the message unto the people that you would have them to hear. Then, Lord, we're just asking you that you continue to be a fence all around us, continue to be a shelter, continue to help us to do your holy and righteous will, continue to help us to walk in the paths of righteousness. Continue to help us to talk in the paths of righteousness. Continue to help us to do your holy and righteous will, Lord. We ask in the name of Jesus, which you continue to bind the hands of Satan and help us not to fall into those traps. Help us to be the people that you would have us to be. Help us to do what you would have us to do, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And I would like to read Psalm 138, Numbers 1 through 2. I will praise you with my whole heart. Before the gods, I will sing praises to you. I will worship towards your holy temple and praise your name for your loving kindness and your truth. For you have magnified your word above all your name. I have read to you Psalm 138, 1 and 2. May the Lord add a blessing to the hearers, the doers, and the seekers of his holy name. I want to, first of all, appreciate each person who's on the line. And, of course, I want to appreciate our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, because without him, there would not be a word of God. And without him, there would not be a ministry. And without him, there would not be a revelation. And without him, there would not be, there would not be anything. So with God, all things are possible. You know, and so we must understand and recognize that. I want you guys to pray for your host tonight. I am currently not feeling well. My head hurts. I just feel a little nauseated. But I know that we serve a God who is bigger than any type of headache we have, any type of pain that we have. So we're going to get through this. But just say a little prayer for all the people who are not feeling well, tonight, okay? So we're going to get past that, and we're going to go ahead and we're going to talk about some things that the Lord would have us to speak about. And the topic that we want to talk about today, that's also found in the Spiritual Guide on the Go, Perfecting Your Walk with God by Dr. Alfreda Love, is discernment. And I'm going to give you a brief synopsis of discernment, and then I'm going to apply this to everyday living, okay? And, yes, I said synopsis because that deals with the brain, and also synopsis deals with just basically giving you a brief overview. But we're going to combine those two, and this will minister to your synapse. So think about what I just said. You'll think about it when we finish, but this should stick into your long-term memory, in other words, okay? So let's talk about discernment. First of all, discernment is a gift. Everyone is entitled to the gift of discernment. The gift of discernment entitles us to know the difference between right and wrong. Okay? We're able to know the difference between right and wrong. And a Bible verse that goes with discernment happens to be 2 Timothy 2 and 5, which tells us to study, right? To show ourselves approved, the workman that needed not be ashamed, but rightfully dividing the word of truth. When we're able to discern right from wrong, we're able to make conscious decisions. And you notice I said conscious, and we're still dealing with the mind and the brain. Consciousness, when you are conscious, you are aware, you are awake, you know. And so what God is saying tonight is that once you know, right, about discernment, you are able to make choices. You are able to make decisions. Now, some people, okay, will make the right choices, and some will make the wrong choices because they have not been spiritually convicted, as we said before. But when we speak about discernment, it is knowing right from wrong. The way that we know right from wrong is through reading the Word of God. The Word of God is a blueprint for us to understand how we are supposed to carry ourselves throughout our life's journey. I want to stick a pen right there because the Lord is showing me something. I've read several articles all over the world about the deaths of children, and that revelation is very high right now. And I want to stop right there and speak about this. Anytime you make a choice to have children, it is a duty to take care of that child and to protect that child. Children will make mistakes just like we do. You have babies who will cry, constantly. You will have toddlers who will throw temper tantrums, okay? You will have our smaller youth, the younger youth, who will either be spoiled, angry, or who will be pleasant. You will have our teenagers who will either, and we're just being real, who will either do what you say or who will not, who will be rebellious. Then you have our young adults who think they're grown, but they're really not. They still want you to help them make decisions. So, in other words, if you have children, it's your responsibility to take care of your children. And what we see here is we see people killing their children. We see people neglecting their children. We see people abandoning their children. And that's not discernment. Because when we're reading the Bible, right, it's very important that we love our neighbor. And a lot of people think our neighbor is not people who are kin to us, but it is. And it talks about loving your neighbor as yourself. Well, your child is part of who you are. So when you take the life of your child, you're taking half of you as well. When you abandon your child, you're abandoning half of your love as well, because that is part of you. And so what we must realize and understand is that we cannot continuously allow society to continuously take our youth, you know. And a lot of people say, you know, I'm going to discipline my child, and that's fine. It's a difference between discipline and discernment, okay? And I know you thought I was going to say there's a difference between discipline and non-discipline. But God is saying there's a discipline between discipline and discernment. And I want you to write this down. I didn't know we was going to do this, because I have to make this clear for you. It's the way the Lord's showing me, and I'm going to let the Lord guide me. Write down discipline on the left side. Write down discernment on the right. Okay. Let the Lord guide me here. With discipline, I want you to write disciple. With discernment, I want you to write Jesus. Okay? Now, I want you to look at those two sides. You have a disciple who falls under discipline, and you have Jesus who falls under discernment. Okay? Right under that, I want you to draw an arrow going down. Okay? So draw a straight line, then draw a V, and that's your arrow going down. A V right between that straight line, okay? So you have discipline, you have disciple, right? And then I want you to write down teaching, right? Then I want you to go over here to your paper. You have discernment, you have Jesus, and you have all-knowing. Okay, I want you to draw a straight line across to divide your paper up. We're going to come back to this and talk about it. I'm letting the Lord do this. I want you to write your name. I want you to write parent under it. If you're not a parent, I want you to write teacher. I want you to draw that same arrow, and I want you to write adult. On the other side, I want you to write your parents' name. I want you to write right under your parents' name, I want you to write teacher. And then I want you to write creation. Okay, let's go back to the top, following what the Lord has given me. So at the top, you should have a disciple. Under that, you should have discipline with an arrow, then teaching. On the other side, you should have discernment, Jesus, all-knowing. All right. Jesus, stay with me, because we're going to find out how we derived a disciple. Jesus went around, and he selected disciples. Okay? That's how we have disciples. With these particular disciples, look at the word disciple. These disciples were disciplined. Okay? These disciples were disciplined. They were disciplined. And because they were disciplined, they were able to be taught by God. Okay? So let me go back over that. You have the word discipline in the atmosphere, the environment. When Jesus found these men, they were all doing something. They were all disciplined. Because they were disciplined, they were made into disciples. Okay? Which means basically followers. Write that word down. And because they were followers, then they followed the teaching of the Lord. And I know you're going to say Judas, but hold on. Judas is only one person. Okay? So in the atmosphere, right, there was discipline going on. If you look at all the disciples, according to the revelation of the Lord, all of the disciples were disciplined. When Jesus called them, they were doing something. They didn't have an idle mind. They were doing something. Once Jesus called them, he was able to make them into disciples, which is followers. Once he did that, they began to learn from Jesus, and they called him Rabbi, okay? So they began to follow him. All right, let's go to discernment. There was discernment in the atmosphere. Jesus is a prophet. Jesus is a teacher. He's a healer. He's anything you need him to be. Because Jesus is all of these things, he already knows what's going to happen before it happens, okay? So I want you to draw an arrow from all-knowing, and I want you to go all the way up and draw that arrow to disciple, all right? I need you to follow me because this is going to, we're going deep in the water now, okay? And I'm going to go back over this because the Lord is showing me this. So you have Jesus is all-knowing. He already knows who he's going to select. He already knows who he's going to call. That's why the Bible says he chose some. He already knows which disciples he's going to select because of their level of discipline. Okay? So he's already able to discern. And because he's all-knowing, he walks over and he finds his disciples, right? He finds them because they're disciplined. They're doing something. Once he finds these disciplined disciples, he begins to teach them, okay? So let me go over this one more time, how it works. Before Jesus came on the scene, okay, these disciples were disciplined, okay? They were disciplined. When Jesus found these men, they were involved in doing something. They didn't have an idle mind. Because of that, they were able to hear the voice of God. And when he told them to follow him, they did. They became followers. And because they followed our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they were able to hear his teaching. And that is how they became real disciples. Let's make it real. All right. So you put your name here. All right. What type of atmosphere are you creating? What type of atmosphere are you creating? And we're going to the spiritual realm for God to come in and to teach. What type of atmosphere? Is it a pleasant atmosphere where there is peace in the valley, or is it chaos every day or every other day or once a month or twice a month? What type, and this is something that you're going to have to ask yourself, what type of environment are you creating for your children? All right? That's the first thing, all right? So you put your name there. The second thing is there's a difference between having children and being a parent. Being a parent, as you all know, when you do that, you nourish your kids, you take care of them, you protect them, you know, and you treat them right, and you make them mind, and you discipline and all that good stuff, okay? You begin to teach them, all right? Then the arrow right here that you have an adult, you have one arrow with an adult, and go ahead and put another arrow and put a child, okay? And leave it just like that. I'm going to come back to it. Then on the other side, all right, you're going to put your name again, right? What spiritual word describes you? Are you a teacher? Are you a prophet? Are you an evangelist? Where do you fit in the spiritual realm? Put it at the top. Wherever you fit in, put it right beside, or actually put it under your name. Are you a counselor in ministry? And this is not, ladies and gentlemen, I don't want you to think that this is something that the Lord has called you to do. If there's nothing under there, and this is what the revelation is saying, we need to find it. You need to find what the Lord wants you to do. You need to find purpose. After you find that, then right under that you put creation, which is your children. Okay? So just put children where creation is. Now I'm going to show you how this works, how the Lord is showing me. All right, let's go to the spiritual world, all right, with discipleship. So there is an environment, and I want you to really think about this. I want to take you, let's go by the Brazos River. For those of you who are in Texas, let's go by a river wherever you guys are, all right? I know there's a river somewhere where you are. Let's go there. Okay, so you and your friend or your spouse or whoever is fishing, right? Discipline, because you're disciplined, you're not causing problems, you don't have an idle mind, you're just fishing, all right? All of a sudden, person walks up to you and says, hey, you know, I see that you're fishing, follow me, I'll make you fishermen or fisherwomen, you know, but all you have to do is follow me. What are you going to say? Are you going to create a disciplined environment? Are you going to say, no, I have some questions to ask before I follow you? What are you going to do? And how do you know? Okay? What are you going to do, and how do you know? Then after that, after you make that decision to go left, which means that you're not going to do it, or go right, then what are you going to do after that? Because the Lord is, once he leads us, he's able to teach us. But if we stay where we are, in the environment that we're in, whether it's a disciplined environment, and we refuse to follow after God, we're missing out on his teaching. And so therefore, instead of us having or creating a disciplined environment, we have an undisciplined environment, and we're not disciples. So let's make this real. I know this is kind of deep, but let's make it real. So for instance, okay, I'm going to use my name. So Alfreda, right? We're just going to make believe here, is a parent, all right? So Alfreda is a parent, and that particular parent, God has called Alfreda to teach and minister, okay? Alfreda is the adult, and under that realm, she is teaching and ministering to a child. On the other side, you have Alfreda again. The Lord has called her to teach and minister, okay? And now she has a creation up under her, which is the children. So Alfreda decides that she is going to come over here to the other side, and she is going to lead, right? Just say this is twins here, Alfreda and Alfreda. Okay, she is going to lead, all right, a ministry. Okay? So within this particular ministry that she's leading, then she has to do some parenting and teaching. If she does not do those two things, then she's not going to reach the child, and she's not going to be at her best potential to become an effective adult. So what the Lord is saying is that, first of all, and I want you to write this down, first of all, we must define who we are. Define who we are according to God. Define who we are according to God. That is how you create your environment, ladies and gentlemen. Okay? The disciples, they lived in a disciplined environment. Jesus, he lived in a discernment environment. He's a prophet. He was able to discern. He was able to heal. Alfreda, my environment is teaching, ministry. That's the type of environment I'm going to create. If you do not have an environment, and if you don't know who you are or who God created you to be, you cannot create an environment that is conducive to productivity. Number two, all right, with that particular environment, you must know your role with that particular environment. For instance, the disciples, they knew that they had to be disciplined and follow Jesus' teaching. Jesus Christ had discernment, so he knew that everywhere he would go, he was all-knowing, and so therefore he knew that he needed to heal, he needed to, do many miracles and things of that nature. Alfreda over here, she knew that her role was ministry, and her role is leading and teaching. And so, therefore, that's the type of environment that she had to create. You know, she had to have her things, her materials, things of that nature, so that she could teach effectively and minister to the people, okay? So we define who we are according to God. Then we know our role. After we know our role, then we're able to lead the masses, okay? Lead the masses. When we talk about leading the masses, the Lord correlates discernment. I want you to write it down. Discipline. And ministry. Okay? And you notice that Jesus had discernment, the disciples had discipline, and Alfreda had ministry. Okay? The Lord says these three are powerhouses, right, to leading a household, leadership in the church, and leading as parents. You must discern how you should treat your child. You know it's wrong to kill a child. It's wrong. A child is wrong to mistreat a child. Someone has to be the adult at some point. We know that children have tendencies, and we as parents have to fall into that role and know our role. And parents have discernment. They know their children better than anyone else. They have the ability to discipline, and they have the ability to teach and minister to the kids because those are your kids. So discernment is very important. When we talk about discipline, discipline falls under that same category. With discipline, Jesus went over and he said, hey, he said, come on, you know, I will make you fishermen, right? And so when we talk about discipline, we have to create that environment of discernment, which means knowing. You have to know your kids. Discipline, you have to be able to discipline them, teach them right from wrong, and then teaching, of course, all right? So when we do that, we have discernment, discipline, and then last but not least is ministry. And ministry does not have to mean that we're preaching constantly the word of God. It means teaching them right from wrong. And that's what God is saying. He said the three things that parents need is discernment, discipline, and ministry. What type of environment are you creating for your child? Some people say, well, I live in this particular place and I'm doing the best I can, or I'm living here, you know, this is a nice environment, and my child still goes astray. What type of environment are you creating for your child? Period, point blank. It doesn't matter where you are. It's what type of environment, what type of vibes, what is your characteristic, what has the Lord called you to do, right? And are you doing it? are you setting up that environment? If you are called to, you know, if the Lord wants you as a parent to teach your children, then do so. If he wants you to minister to your children, do so. The Lord gives parents the innate ability to minister unto their own children. The Lord is saying with these particular disciples, they were like his children because they followed him. Everywhere Jesus went, they went, right? They followed him, and that's how your children should be. They should follow you. They should follow in your footsteps, right? Because they have your genes, of course. With this, and Jesus said it's possible, with this, the disciples were not blood kin to Jesus. But because of the atmosphere that Jesus set, they followed him. So you guys, the parents, have an advantage because those are your genes. And so what is the prayer that we need to pray is, what is the Lord calling me to be as a parent? What type of atmosphere should I set up for my child as a parent? That's basically, you know, it falls under the category of knowing, discernment. And a lot of people think discernment is akin to prophecy, and it's not. Discernment is understanding that this is good, this is evil. I understand that God is good, and I understand that the devil is evil. That's discernment. It's not a prophecy, okay? Number two, discipline. You know, discipline comes from discernment. It just does. Because once you're able to understand your child, once you're able to understand the environment that you need to create for your child or children, then you're able to discipline them accordingly. Too harsh. You know, some people go to the extreme, starving children, putting them in closets, beating them, killing them, putting them in ovens. I mean, I've heard it all, keeping them in hot cars. That's not the type of environment that the Lord has called us to place these children in. Okay? So discipline. Once you understand and know your child and understand the will of God, you're able to use discernment. Then you're able to discipline, and then you're able to teach, which means minister. But a lot of people want to skip the fact of discernment and discipline. You know, discernment, you have to know your child. I know this sounds very strange. That means you have to spend time with your children. You have to ask them, what do you like? What do you don't like? You have to ask them that. And it's not something like, we're going to do this and they tell you, I don't like it. No, it's something like, I need to know what interests my child. It's like taking a survey. You need to have those conversations because we have to start practicing patience with children because a lot of people react. You know, a child is crying too much. We have the baby shaking syndrome, or a child is maybe doing something they shouldn't, and a parent gets mad and just beats the child to death. You know, smothering children. I mean, it's too much. It really is. It's too much, and the Lord has placed us on our heart to say it. You know, we have to take care of our children. It is a responsibility. You know, God does not smile on murder, especially for youth. He said, what you doing to my little ones, you doing to me. It's very important, you know. If it gets too hard, there are a lot of agencies, adoption agencies out there, you know, family members, people who would take these kids. But what God is saying is that we're going to have to start creating environments. And I didn't even know I was going to go way over here like this, but the Lord is leading me to this. There's so many things going on with our youth today, and we're talking about from babies all the way up to 16, 17 years old, you know. Just because a child tells you they can swim like a fish doesn't mean that they can just go out in the water. They need to be supervised. You need to have things in place. Set up the environment, a safety environment, things in place in case you see them having difficulty coming back to shore. The Lord is saying we need to be proactive in our ministry, proactive in our faith, proactive in our parenting, proactive in our careers. We have to do it, and we have to have discernment, which means the wisdom and knowledge. When you become a parent, you're going to have wisdom and knowledge. It's one thing to become a parent, and it's another thing to just have kids and not know what to do. We have to ask God for discernment. It's a huge responsibility once you become a parent. Huge. You know, that's not your baby doll. A kid is not a baby doll. A kid is not a football. This is a human being we're talking about, and we have to use discernment so that we can make good choices. Discipline is highly needed. you know, because they're going to go out into the schools, into the community. You know your child better than anybody else. And so discipline is necessary, but some people go too far. And when we talk about going too far, we're talking about, I mean, killing a child, breaking their arms, throwing them out of windows, putting them in ovens. You know, I mean, I've just witnessed so many stories in the world. I mean, I just get on the internet and look, and it's horrendous. These are your kids you're doing this to. These are not baby dolls, and these are not footballs that you can bring back to life. You can't even bring a football back to life, nor a baby doll. Once these actions happen, as I said before, I don't know how to reiterate this. You can't bring these people back, ladies and gentlemen. If you don't have the patience, right, for kids, don't have them. This is a huge responsibility. You have to really set, or really have to have a mindset, because, I mean, the revelation is high and the Lord is really speaking. You have to have a mindset to have kids. It's easy to have kids. It's very easy. But with that, you're going to have to be parents. Period. I should not read the newspaper and see that somebody's parent killed their own child, whether it's beating, whatever it is. This has to stop. Enough is enough. The Lord is speaking. This is too much. You have to really think about it before you have kids. The Lord is saying before you have kids, you need to go out and test your patience with other kids. And don't hurt them either. But test your patience. See how you like it, because at least you can give the kids back. You know, when he found those men, they were fishing. They were doing something. They tried it out. They were fishing. But it's very important that in our ministries, in parenting, in our careers, that we have these three powerhouses: discernment, discipline, teaching, or ministry. We have to have that. And we have to have patience most of all. Patience comes with parenting. If you don't have the patience, do not become a parent. Easy to become a parent. It's very easy. But taking care of the child is a totally different ballgame. There's too much going on, ladies and gentlemen. It's sad. All around this world, 1-year-old being beat to death, you know. I don't understand. I mean, physically, like you're fighting a grown person. I don't understand it. This has to stop. We have to pray. And we have to trust in God. And we have to ask God to give parents patience. And it's not all parents. You have some phenomenal parents. Some parents that's holding it down, doing what they're supposed to do, taking care of their kids. I'm speaking about what we need to become better. And it's discernment, discipline, teaching, and ministry. That's what it is. Because this is too much. And I pray, and each week we're going to pray, the Love Lift Jesus Ministry is going to pray, that we do not hear about any youth being killed, murdered by their own parents, by adults, in the hands of adults, babysitters getting upset because the child's crying too much, so they decide, okay, I'm going to smother this baby. That's not the answer. Set the environment, which is discernment. You have to know who you're taking care of first. Then number two, discipline, which means that your expectations should be known. And then number three, teaching, ministering. Part of discipline is teaching, not just flying off the handle. So we have to do that. We have to, we must do that. We must take heed to what the Lord is showing and giving us when he speaks about discernment. And I talk about this discernment in A Spiritual Guide on the Go because it's very important, ladies and gentlemen, as I said before, that we know or we understand right from wrong. It's very important. It's very important. And so how can we discern spirits of God? And the way we discern the spirit is by reading the word of God. Right? 1 John 4:2-3 reads, "Hereby know ye the spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God." And that is the spirit of Antichrist. You know? And when we talk about the flesh, we're going to have to talk about that as well. The flesh is the spirit of God, but then we can abuse our flesh. Just like we abuse children, we can abuse our flesh, and our flesh can get the best of us and cause us to do things that we shouldn't be doing. And so when we talk about flesh, we're talking about the flesh is in the skin, that God is real. Because a lot of people say, no, the flesh is, you know, God is flesh, has flesh, which is sinful. There's sinful flesh, then there is humanistic flesh. And we're talking about humanistic flesh because God is without sin. Okay? So within this discernment, we must know, right, and be able to discern different spirits. But the main focus here tonight, and I'm almost finished, is to be sure to understand that we must know our children, we must know ministry, we must know our careers, we must be disciplined. And not go overboard. We must have patience and understand. Then we must teach, right? And if we don't know, we go ask. But all of this stuff that's going on in the world with these kids and just, I mean, I'm just speechless. It has to stop. It really does. You know, we have to at some point have a stopping point. And we have to teach people how or what we should do. Okay? So discernment, discipline, and teaching is what we're going for. Discernment, discipline, and teaching is what we're going for. Okay? So this was very brief, and as I said before, we will reschedule interviews. But this also was on my heart, and I'm glad that we had the opportunity to pray. We did come on yesterday, but it wasn't like our Wednesday prayer in which we just pray. And we did have the opportunity to do that, so I feel really good about that. So once again, I just really appreciate all of you who are online right now, some of my military friends, some of my friends from California, and some of my other friends. But I really appreciate, and my family, of course, and I really appreciate all of you listening. You know, if someone asks you what we talked about today, you tell them discernment, discipline, and ministry. And that's the three concepts that we must understand in order to function in society. Because, as I said before, a lot of things happen and people lose their cool, they lose their patience. And once you do something to a person, such as killing them, they're not going to come back to life, you know. And so we have to be cognizant of the choices and decisions. We have to use discernment, and we have to understand who God is, okay? So that's all I really wanted to say today that the Lord gave me, but we really need to make sure that we're using discernment. Discernment is the big word, and as I said before, it's knowing the difference between right and wrong. That's what discernment is. Knowing the difference between right and wrong. A lot of people think prophecy is discernment, and it's not. Prophecy is not discernment, okay? So you guys do me a favor and just pray for our youth. You know, just pray for the youth. And, I mean, you know, if you see someone losing their cool, just kind of tell them, hey, relax, you know. And remind them to set the atmosphere, because we really don't want to hear about youth dying in the hands of angry hands, and we don't want to hear about adults being in trouble and things of that nature. We're trying to produce a peaceful community, and I pray, my prayer is that the rest of this week we can go without having to hear about fatalities, especially with our youth. That's my prayer starting now. And so every week, that'll be my prayer. I'm just going to pray that prayer because, you know, a lot of things are happening, and I mean, it shouldn't be, okay? So I really appreciate everybody for listening. And as I said before, thank you so much for being online. And I have a couple of announcements to make, and then that's it. Please be sure to continue to uplift your family and friends by encouraging them, asking them to log on to blogtalkradio.com/freedomlove. That's blogtalkradio.com/FREEDALOVE. A spiritual guide on the go is in your local bookstores such as Follis.com, BarnesandNobles.com, BookWorld.com. That's BOOKWHIRL.com, Amazon.com, AmazonUK.com. So please be sure to check that out. In addition to that, make sure you're praying for 135 people. If you have to pray for all your family members, pray for them one by one. Then don't forget to pray for yourself. Please mark on your calendars that August 24th, we're going to have a homecoming celebration at the Greater Ebenezer Baptist Church, 919 Dutton Avenue, Waco, Texas, where the Reverend Dr. Carrie Berkeley is our pastor. Everyone is invited. We would love to see all of your smiling faces. And once again, that is August the 24th at 919 Dutton Avenue, Waco, Texas, where the Reverend Dr. Carrie Berkeley is our pastor. Be sure to join me as I will have other guests who will come on the ministry. We will reschedule some of the other guests. But I'm glad that we had the opportunity to pray and hear the revelation of God today. But be sure to watch the Facebook page. If you want to connect with me, you can go to ALFREDALOVE or FREDALOVE or EMONYA_love@yahoo.com, or you can connect with me on my page entitled I Got to Have Faith. That's also on Facebook. In addition to that, I would like to welcome all of my newcomers, and I would like to thank all of my I Have Been With You Since Day One people. Thank you so much for your listening support of the Love Lift Jesus Up ministry. We're going to be doing a lot of great things. I'm going to bring on some great people, and I just want you to be sure to stay connected. Be sure to take care of yourselves. Be sure to trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Be sure to pray one for another. As I said before, pray for your host. Your host is not feeling well, but God is still good. And be sure to just continue to uplift each other and magnify the Lord and make sure that everything that you do for Christ is authentic. And make sure that when we give the word of God, we're giving the correct word of God. Make sure that when we get up in the pulpit or when we stand down on the ground, make sure that we're respecting the house of the Lord. When we go inside the house of the Lord, make sure that we don't have any ought against our brothers and sisters, but make sure we love them as Christ loved us. And so just continue to spread the word about the Love Lift Jesus ministry and continue to follow and continue to lead and allow the Lord to guide you in all of your endeavors. Once again, I love each and every one of you. I pray that God would bless and take care of each and every one of you. And as I said before, there is a shifting in the atmosphere. There's a huge shifting. And the Lord is going to do some magnificent things. And we have to make sure that we are prepared and that we are in place when the Lord decides to do these magnificent things. As I said before, there are some things that will happen in the upcoming days that's just amazing, and that's probably why my head is hurting. But as I said before, you know, we're all prepared. Are we getting ready for Jesus? Because Jesus is coming. And when we talk about Jesus is coming, he's coming in the form of bringing the good news. He's coming in the form of giving and receiving what's rightfully his. And so we just thank God for the word of God. We thank you all for the anointing. We thank God for all the listeners. As I said before, I would encourage you to seek our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I would encourage you to get to know him on a personal level. I would encourage you to read your Bibles and study the word of God, because we never know the day nor the hour, but we must be ready. And I just encourage you to keep encouraging or continue to encourage other people to follow after the heart of Jesus Christ. As I said before, and I'm going to leave you with this, the Love Lift Jesus ministry is the best thing that has happened to me. I was telling my mom, I said, this is this ministry is the fuel that keeps me energized and keeps me going. There are a lot of things that happen in the world, such as what we were talking about today with the children and the youth, people destroying their lives. And every time you pick up the newspaper, you see things with the youth. I said, but this ministry is an outlet for me where I can give the revelation of God and I can begin to pray those spirits and those demons off. As far as how they affect our children, I'm a huge child advocate. I mean, I believe in discipline, but I also believe in protecting our children because they're the most innocent individuals on earth. And so, you know, it's very important to me that I continue with the ministry and really invest in our youth in a way that we protect them from just things that do not serve well with them. And I just plead with you guys, all of you who are listening, all of you who know the Lord, to go out and to let the community know that there's going to be a movement pretty soon, and I'm not the only one, where we're going to take back our youth from the streets, take back our youth from the hands of angry hands and predators. We're going to have something set in place, quite to the revelation of God. And as I said before, I'm not going to be the only one, because this has to stop. It's getting out of hand. It really is. And I ask that if anyone who's listening is guilty of anything such as that, that just please stop, because we have to make sure that our children receive their innocence and maintain their innocence, right, until they're old enough to make their own decisions, in which I say that's 21. But we need to really take care of our children. Parents, really take care of your children. Don't let them just, I mean, I'm not saying, you know, don't let them do anything, but know what's going on. It's a lot of things on the internet. It's a lot of things out in the world. Investigate it, you know. Know what they're into. It's very important, you know. And I don't know how to stress this enough. The Lord wouldn't place it on my heart unless we needed to stress it. So just make sure that, you know, you take care of your youth, take care of the kids, you know. And as I said before, we're still praying and we're still trusting in God. So without further ado, if someone asks you what that big, beautiful smile is all about, you tell them that love lifted you up because God is love. Until next time, take care of yourselves and each other. Goodbye, everybody.